Grow with me, Susan Harrison. On today's Halloween-themed show, our resident reviewers Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild review The Art of Trick-or-Treating, live from Dalston, Kingsland. We bring you breaking news on Tess Daly's wardrobe malfunction, and there is a very spooky Desert Island death disc. But first of all, I talk to coach driver Jeff from the hit documentary series Jeff the Coach Driver.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. I know that the listeners, there's some big fans out there of your down-to-earth attitude to life.
I think most people appreciate my driving skills because, you know, I've been driving for about 25 years now. So,
yeah.
You know, I'm like a public service really, sort of there to sort of explain how to cope with contraflows, time management, stuff like that.
Right.
Difficult passengers.
Yeah. So do you see your role as quite an educational role?
Anything that helps, you know, get people from A to B, then great. You know, if it's how to deal with the sat nav, how to deal with the aircon, sometimes get stuck on.
It's Wednesday morning, and Jeff, the coach driver, has a busy day of driving ahead of him.
You know, just things like that. You know, a jet of cold air in your face, you can get hypothermia from that.
Right.
And I can explain how to turn that off without any fuss. A lot of skills, yeah.
You're like a Renaissance man.
But I'm not a walkover. You can't walk over, you know. I don't like tardiness. I don't like people being late. You know, if they're not back on the coach by 8:30, I'm off.
Yeah.
I'll leave without him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that was a really dramatic episode, actually, last week when somebody was 5 minutes late getting back to the bus. I think it's that sort of everyday drama that is so appealing about the programme.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see it as drama. I just see it as a schedule. and if I'm not on schedule, then I've got 60 widows on board who are going to miss the beginning of Phantom. And that is drama. That is drama.
If
they miss that chandelier coming down, what's going on?
Yeah. You know,
what's the rest of the show about?
The first two episodes, there have been coach loads of widows both times. Do you deal exclusively with widows?
No.
Oh, no, okay.
No, not at all.
You don't discriminate if someone's still
not at all.
Got a living partner?
I mean, the thing about widows is, you know, they appreciate it a lot more.
Yeah.
And I am drawn to that. I'm drawn to giving people a nice time. They've had a lot of bad luck in the last few weeks or whatever, and I'm there to help them out, get them out of that home, you know.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's nothing wrong with homes.
In the last few weeks, some of them are quite freshly.
Oh, yeah.
It's quite raw.
Yeah, some of them have been widows for years, some of them within the last, you know. Some of them, we're talking about 2 hours after it's happened.
Christ.
I've taken to the zoo.
And does that help? Do you feel that...
It helps them.
Yeah.
It helps them. Of course, it helps me because it's word of mouth.
Well, you say it helps you. I mean, I can see how it would help you in terms of your business.
Yeah.
But, I mean, your personality is such that it must have left a scar on you.
What?
Well, dealing with so much death.
I think that the more you deal with death, the more you're going to be prepared for it.
Mm.
You know, so let's just say that one day, and it's never going to happen, but let's just say the brakes failed and we go off. Mm. You know, we go off kilter into a wall. You know, mentally, I'm prepared for that.
Yeah.
Because I've been surrounded by death for a long time. But
almost welcome it.
Oh, I won't go that far, but yeah, I know what you mean. No, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
You know, because you're right. I mean, you know, you sort of get used to the idea. We're all going that way, whether it's, you know, off Tower Bridge or the A46. God knows what it's going to be.
Any other favourite motorways?
A47, A52, mainly the A roads.
It's Wednesday afternoon, and Jeff, the coach driver, is still driving.
Not skiing on the M's.
No?
It's boring. Do you know what I mean? It's boring. Mm. Once you're on it, then what?
Yeah.
What are you dealing with?
Yeah.
Nothing. It's just, here we go.
You see, it's that sort of straight-talking attitude that I think the viewers have really enjoyed so far in the first couple of episodes. I'm just going to bring in Stephanie Clayton now. Hi, Stephanie.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And so, Stephanie, you're the brains, the documentary genius behind this programme.
I mean, I must just flag that Channel 4 approached me and got me in at quite a late stage, actually, because the previous director left, didn't he? There were problems. We won't go into that too much.
Okay.
So they got me in sort of at the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you who don't know me, sorry, I'm a documentary filmmaker. Mm-hmm. Did a big thing about sort of the Arab Spring and Twitter and stuff, and how that was influenced by social media. Did really well in Cannes, and so Channel 4 was interested in getting me on this sort of new directors programme, and they thought they'd start me off Jeff. The coach driver. It's been a lot of fun, hasn't it? Well, I mean, it's been an experience.
Yeah,
let's put it. Should we put it like that?
Yeah.
How does this compare to your normal material that you deal with? Because I noticed that recently you created an amazing on the ground piece about the Hong Kong.
That's right. That's my latest piece.
Protests and uprising. I mean, it was really moving.
Yeah.
How does this compare? I know that it's a slow burn. I understand that's probably deliberate, and I'm sure over the series we'll see Jeff in some real anguish, probably.
You'd think that, yeah. Huh. But how would it compare? I would say, can you imagine exact opposites?
I can.
It's like that.
Okay.
It's almost exactly like that, because they got me on board because they wanted me to find the extraordinary in the ordinary. I think we found that we definitely hit the ordinary, didn't we? We hit that hard in the first two episodes. It was like 30 minutes of ordinary.
It was one of the dullest journeys that I do.
Is it about the journey? Is that what
about the destination? That's what it's about.
Nice.
It's about the journey.
And the journey.
Yeah.
Sort of about both.
It's about destination.
It's about both really.
So in terms of the ordinary, which I think you've presented brilliantly. I mean, there was so much ordinary that I didn't think you could get any more, and yet episode two came along, and you were really mining that ordinary and
really, really,
really going for it.
But it went for a colour palette of grey.
It was cloudy that day.
It was really cloudy. The clouds, the concrete, and all of your clothes as well.
That's uniform. There's not much I can do about that.
Yeah,
I did try wear like a bit of red on it, and verbal warning. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you go off. Exactly. If you do that, that's it. Anything could happen.
Exactly. And the conversations were great as well.
Yeah.
Which I thought was nice. A nice little touch.
Yeah. 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 Well, there was a lot of elderly people on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Jeff.
They quite like you, though, don't they? There's a lot of those women. They're quite.
They took a shine to me.
Yeah.
I think I brought some excitement to there. Otherwise, quite empty.
You got quite close to Mrs. Chamberlain.
Mrs. Chamberlain now. Probably going to be the subject of my next documentary. She was fascinating. You know more about her than I do. But
Well, I did. She's gone now.
That's right. But she, you drove her quite a lot, didn't you? Because she was part of that club that did the theatre trips.
Absolutely right. Yeah. No, she's great. She's seen all the musicals. Mm. You know, she was a big fan. The last one she went to see was Miss Saigon.
Oh, yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
She was in the stalls. She had a good seat, but
I think it was
F3. Yeah,
This is what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
there haven't been any highs and lows yet. I've got to say, it's all been on quite a steady. I mean, if you were driving at a speed, I would say that it was 35 miles an
35,
hour.
35, bang on.
In terms of the feel of the documentary.
Yeah.
You
think that it would go to a peak.
Yeah.
It would build up to some sort of peak. But let me tell you now, I'm sorry for the spoilers, but it just carries on like that and then ends. Okay, that's what happens in episode 6. I think we can definitely say that's the end of the series.
Bearing in mind, I can only go up to 50.
I asked him, that is the max.
I've got a job.
I asked him, for episode 4, I asked him, would you consider, just for some drama...
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to influence my subjects too much, but I said, would you just consider just going over the speed limit, and we could have maybe a bit of an altercation with police, but you were dead against that.
Well, I mean, that's where I draw the line at that. I just think that's, I thought you were just there to watch, but you're trying to make me do stuff that would, I could lose my job. And, I've got family to feed, do you know what I mean? If I go over the speed limit just for a bit of, drama on your BBC Three, what is it? Who's going to be there to pick up the pieces? Like, you put your programme on, and then it's like, oh, look, there's Jeff breaking the... And then I've got no job, and then my family are desolate.
But it would be exciting telly, and this is the point.
I'd also, I wouldn't have a home.
I could win an award, but no.
My kids would starve.
I mean, that's out the window, obviously, with it.
But although, I mean, having said that, Stephanie, I think you're being a bit hard on your subject, because I understand that we will be seeing in episode 5... Jeff, there's a moment when you're singing along to yourself as you're driving. Just some
yeah.
Quiet singing. I mean, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's
Fleetwood
lovely.
Mac.
Yeah.
Isn't It Midnight?
Yeah, isn't it?
Absolutely great. It's a great tune, that.
It was really nice. It was like a very, very rare.
I didn't know they were filming
moment.
That, actually. I was surprised.
Yeah. Well, just a grasp at straws at that point, I think. That's literally the high point of the series.
Okay. I saw the whole song.
That's what makes it such a special documentary, because unlike your usual documentaries on any channel, in any style, unlike the usual stuff, there's nothing changes and nothing happens. And I think that's there's something really kind of meditative about that to
well,
watch.
That's very kind of you to say. I think you're the only one that said that. So thank you.
But there's something nice about, you know, things not changing. Because a lot of things changing, isn't there? But one thing that doesn't change is roads, apart from the tarmac.
Mm.
But nothing else changes. And it's just like, okay, here's your map. We know where we're going. These roads have been around since Roman times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's nice, you know.
Yeah.
We're doing the same journey that, what's his name, Caesar and all that lot, just about going up and down.
Why country. Couldn't you have said this
what?
On the... Doesn't matter.
Well, I was just driving. Wonder, what... If you talk to me when I'm driving, you know, I'm focused on one thing,
yeah.
which is the road.
Yeah, that right. was a
so
real
we can
down
chat now.
Point.
Don't get me wrong, we can chat now about whatever you like, talk about anything.
Right.
But when I'm driving, don't talk to me. I should have told you that before you started filming the documentary.
Yeah, I wish you had.
It does put up a big barrier,
it's
doesn't
a sticking
it?
Sticking point.
Yeah,
yeah,
the fact that you're focusing on one individual
yeah.
who actually can't talk to you while he's driving, and yet
yeah.
it's about driving.
And I would try and even just stand, you know, by the driver's seat, and that's against rules.
That really
it?
Annoys me when people do that.
Yeah, no, it says, because he's got a sign up saying no standees beyond this point.
Mm.
Yeah.
Standees.
Yeah, so
and I was being a standee by trying to stand by the driver's box.
Yeah, I crossed that S out.
So, Jeff, I'm obviously you're very passionate man, but it's within a very small sphere of interest. Now, what I'd like to know just how you feel about various roads. For instance, what do you think of chevrons?
Chevrons? I don't think much to them, to be honest. I like the sort of scenic routes. Sometimes I'll get like a bus full of people, not necessarily widows, it could be, you know, anyone. Kids, they do school trips, they go to swimming pools. And we take them to the Ledge Centre. Sometimes they go, right, we need to get to the Ledge Centre as fast as possible because we've only got an hour window. And I say, come on, you know, time is short. You know, I've learnt that from the widows. So I take them on scenic route. And sometimes, you know, a half-hour journey to the Ledge Centre, it has taken up to 3 hours before. But they've appreciated that. Do you know what I mean? They've appreciated what they've seen. They've seen hills, they've seen sheep, cows. You know, it's all about city
yeah.
kids. They haven't seen nothing. Sometimes, you know, when I take them from, like North London, we go from Hampstead, and I've got to go to Highgate, I'll take them out to Hertfordshire
yeah.
and then back in. That is a much better journey to the Ledge Centre, do you know what I mean?
That deputy head lost her job after that 3 hour journey, didn't she?
Yeah. She did, and it was such a shame that all happened before the documentary.
It was, because that was what got me excited. But unfortunately, in a 6 week span, nothing.
What annoyed me about you was you just were basically wanting us to. I just felt like at times you were just desperate for us to just. Crash.
That would have been exciting. That would have been one of the many things that could have happened.
But that's, you know, what's good about that? I mean, here's me trying to do a good job, and you just kept yapping on in my ear, going, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? I'm trying to drive. And it's almost as if you're trying to make me crash the coach.
Well, you know,
it's
it would have
like,
been...
What are you doing? What are you thinking?
It would have been a plot point. You know, that would have been a good third act. But
final act.
As it was, nothing.
Well, I hope you got what you needed, because, you know...
We didn't.
Right.
It's Wednesday evening, and Jeff, yeah, guys, is there, am I missing a page of script, or, okay, great. It's Wednesday evening, and Jeff, the coach driver, is still driving.
Hello, I'm Kirsty Young, and you're listening to Desert Island Death Discs. Now, I have been running for approximately 37 minutes, trying to escape from my next guest. He's coming in the studio. Okay, I'm handing over now. It's Vlad the Impaler.
My name is Vlad Battle. You might know me as Vlad the Impaler, or for those of you who like to read, you may know me as Dracula. I've been asked to talk briefly about my least favourite song to do with Halloween, and that undoubtedly is Werewolves of London by Warren Zevon. It's a ridiculous song. It starts off weak and it gets worse. That's not why I hate it. I hate it because my cousin Keith, known as Keith the Impaler, and to be fair, that's an appropriate nickname because he's a fucking pervert, but he used to bully me with that song on account of my hairy back. Now, that is not my fault. Also, I've got a problem with that Stoker dude, because he wrote a book about me that was entirely lies. It's a racist conspiracy that is generated by the Lizard Illuminati to demean the Romanian royal family, and I've got no time for that. But Stoker can go the whistle, that's all I think, because, well, I don't drink blood. I am 300 years old, admittedly, but that's largely due to healthy living and a happy lifestyle. That's all I got. That's all I got. I just stick around, you know what I mean? I've been in London for 150 years. Now, who's the fucking immigrant there? Anyway, werewolves in London. It's a crock of shit, really. Maybe you want to fucking kill someone.
Halloween! Hello, it's Hayley Danks here.
Oh, right. Are you introducing this section?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
Okay, so next up, it's myself and my colleague Ruth Goodchild. We reviewed Trick or Treaters from my garden in Dulston, Kingsland Junction area. Now, there were several Halloween parties going on around us, so apologies for the noise. But nevertheless, I hope you enjoy our Halloween review special.
Okay, thanks very much. Okay, there we go.
Well, now, I don't know where to start with that. Really. No. I mean, it was all over the place. The production values were sloppy.
Absolutely.
I mean, was that a ghost or was it a ghoul?
I don't even know. I think it was just a sheet.
Yeah.
And a stained sheet at that.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I suppose for me, it's all about commitment. So absolutely. If you are going to go as a stained ghost, then really go to town.
Really go. Get some egg white, yes. Some egg yolk, some dirt and some filth. But no, you know, you might be four. I don't care. Mm. That wasn't a good enough performance.
No, I agree. No. I don't give a flying F if you're four or if you're 45.
Exactly.
The fact is, if you're expecting people to give you something for your work, then I want to see good, well thought through characterisation.
Their voice acting was appalling, for example. They just went, woo, trick or treat, just like that on a monotone. They didn't think about levels, they didn't think about using volume or pitch or anything like that. Just appalling.
You're absolutely right. I mean, from a vocal point of view, it was terrible, but also the content. Woo, I'm a ghost.
Woo.
Cliche or what?
I know.
Hello?
Buck the trend, for goodness sake.
And
learn the trend, then buck it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Learn the rules and then break them.
Yeah, exactly.
Learn the rules and then, like, run roughshod over them with a tractor.
Now, the little girls, I'm assuming it was her brother.
Presumably. I mean, they weren't very clear. I would have liked a programme with information.
Exactly. Anyway. I want a backstory. Mm. Otherwise, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Just two characters. Well, I don't know the connection. So how am I supposed to appreciate it?
Yes. How can I care if they don't care?
They clearly don't. So I don't. Simple. So out of five, how many stars would we give this brother and sister duo?
Two.
I think that's being very generous. Okay, let's go with two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Halloween.
Okay, there we go. Goodness.
Ooh, yeah.
Now.
I liked it.
I did. I liked it as well. I mean, I thought they were quite old to be trick-or-treating.
Yeah, no, but for me that was what was interesting.
Yes.
Because at first, they were quite live, shall we say, for 20-somethings.
Yes.
So at first I thought, maybe they're like very, very tall children.
Yes.
As it went on, I realised they're young adults.
Adults, and they're just thinking, you know what, I'm not going to stick to the conventions that it has to be only children that
That's
do
right.
this. Bugger that, if I can say that. They came up the drive, they were sort of prancing almost up the drive with their hoods up. You couldn't really see their faces at first, which I thought was really mysterious, which is what Halloween's all about.
It was edgy.
It was really edgy. So they said trick or treat quite aggressively.
Yeah.
What did we offer them? I think we offered them some hummus.
Yeah.
We've got.
I had some really nice cheesy breadsticks.
Beautiful. Then they bucked the trend again.
Yeah.
And said, well, no, we don't want that shit. We want your money.
Yeah. I loved that.
I know.
Because at that moment, I didn't know about you, but I felt really aligned.
Yes. It was sort of a tingle of excitement and fear just
rushed through my body and I thought, right, this is what it's all about. They're actually bringing Halloween to life for me now.
Yes, because, yeah. I mean, what are modern fears if not fear of burglary and,
violence. And then they added to that when they brought out the knife, didn't they? Exactly.
Yeah.
I thought, now you've taken a concept and you've really run with it and you're now stepping it up.
Layers. It felt very authentic.
Yeah.
I didn't feel like it was just there for show.
No.
I felt like they really went the extra mile.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, I even now feel slightly full of adrenaline.
I know what you mean. It's like that thing when the curtain comes down, you can't stop thinking about the play.
Yeah.
It's exactly like that. I mean, I feel now, just as I did when I saw Hamlet for the first time.
Oh.
You know.
Do you know what? I feel now just as I felt the first time I saw Catherine Hunter on the stage of the Globe. It's a very similar feeling.
Very
similar. A feeling of, gosh, I've been overwhelmed. I was not expecting that.
Yes.
Or I was expecting one thing, i.e. in this case, children.
And
I got
bam,
another.
Bam.
Bam.
Turned a corner.
Literally, bam. Mm. I mean, how is your head, Ruth?
That's probably why I'm feeling so dizzy.
Yeah.
Wasn't
it visceral?
It was very. It was like down in the pit of my soul. I felt this is theatre. It's happening now. You know?
This is theatre. This is immersive theatre.
Yes.
Secret
site-specific
theatre. Site-specific theatre. Devised theatre. Promenade theatre. All in the one.
All in the one. And it makes you think about the future as well. Because,
yeah.
I mean, you'll need to get your credit card stopped, won't you? For a start, having to be carried.
Lazy.
it's very lazy, isn't it? I mean, at least walk up the drive, for goodness sake.
I know. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm certain that I was walking by 1.5.
I think even earlier than that, probably, for me.
Oh, yeah, probably for you.
Yes.
If not, why not? You've got to ask.
Exactly. Come along. You know, adulthood beckons.
Adulthood is reaching out its arms for you, and if you don't run into it and jump up, then more from you.
Exactly.
So yeah, I felt like it was a little bit safe, a little bit cosy.
Mm-hmm.
I know that they're friends of ours, but nevertheless,
yes.
I felt like, if anything, that should have made Sandra and
Jim push even further.
Yeah.
I mean, I liked the only bit I liked was the very last bit when Jim whispered "pair of pricks" as he was walking away. I liked that because I wasn't expecting it.
I really wasn't expecting that, and it's sort of like, it's like that funny, like a coda or something.
Yes,
no?
Like a little epilogue on the main play.
Yeah.
Instead of backing up what you've just seen, it subverts it.
Mm.
Because it was this very, very nice, you know, this little baby.
Like, hi, nice to see you, all of the nice teeth.
All of that business. You know, the baby sort of dressed as a little pumpkin.
Yeah.
All the rest of it.
We hadn't met the baby before, so I suppose that was novel.
Yes,
you know. Having around there, because why would you?
Why would you? I've got nothing in common with a little baby dressed as a pumpkin. So, and then, just this looks like a knife stabbed in at the end, wasn't it?
As
they were walking away.
I mean, indeed, it was like a verbal knife.
Yeah, a verbal
knife.
And
I always feel a little bit similar to before in terms of, I still feel not quite myself.
Mm.
As if there's a slight...
Other. There's a sense of other.
A sense of other,
yes.
Which, again, brings us back to Halloween. I thought that was really interesting, really unexpected from Sandra and Jim. Yeah. No, it's
their costumes were interesting.
Yeah.
Middle-aged people they came as, which, you know, I quite like that.
I liked it. I mean, you know, because you wouldn't normally, it wouldn't be my go-to.
No.
There were no ears, no witch's hat.
Nothing like that.
Nothing cliched.
Pleated skirt. Yeah. I mean, they were, you know, they were subverting Halloween in that sense.
They definitely were.
Little cardigan.
Yeah.
Sort of thing, not what you expect.
Cozy. Yeah.
Cozy. Nice. Cozy and nice.
I think one of them even had a Waitrose bag.
I like that detail.
That was a nice detail. It sort of grounded it in a very specific world, a specific place. Mm-hmm.
Let's finish this by discussing if we were going to lower ourselves to go trick or treating.
Yeah.
What would be our go-to costume?
Right. Gosh, I mean, saying go-to me, as you know,
is
a very dangerous thing because I don't just have one option of anything in life.
That's true.
No.
I think I would probably go as a concept.
Obviously.
Because most people sort of go as people or things.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would go as Joy.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. And would you depict that in a traditional manner, bright yellow colours?
No, the opposite of that. Yep, the opposite of that. Just I would blend in with just wearing black, which I think suggests joy.
I think so.
And maybe do some sort of dance or maybe play some sort of instrument.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, you could get your oboe out.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, it'd be nice playing to do that oboe. Again. You know, you don't play enough.
Oh, that's true. I should get back to that. So playing an oboe, dressed in black, as I approach the front door, I think that sums up Halloween.
I think for me, it definitely sums up Halloween. I think personally, I would go as myself, but inside out.
Oh, that's great.
By which I mean, I would actually use body... You know that I'm quite into body paint.
Yes,
you know,
that's great. That's a great idea. Yeah.
And just basically like my innards, the skin, but the underside of the skin, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Right? So you would actually see my lungs, where my lungs would be.
Yeah.
It would just clarify and could who I am
also,
internally.
As well as the sort of guts and, you know, sort of innards and things like that, would it also have things like hatred?
Yeah.
And sort of that
Well, it would have hatred on one sole of one foot and love on the other.
Ah, that's
so
good.
So I could
that's
actually raise my foot and kick
someone with the hatred.
Yes.
That's brilliant.
Or, well, depending on how I felt about them in that moment.
Or kick them with love.
Well, exactly. Which is, I mean, and really, which kick is going to hurt more, love or hatred?
Ah, interesting. You see, this is the thing. You want a Halloween costume that makes people think.
Yeah.
And then
through which you can express yourself.
I'm afraid to say only one of the three trick-or-treaters that we've seen today achieved that.
And boy, did they achieve that.
Boy, did they
in
achieve
spades,
that.
In spades. And
in spades. Okay, you better go and ring your bank.
Yeah, I'm going to ring Santander.
Okay.
Do you want some more hummus?
Thanks, yes.
Halloween!
This week, the front page of the BBC News website carried the story that Tess Daly lost her shoe as she walked down the steps on Strictly Come Dancing. Here's a brief extract from the 9 o'clock news the following day. It is not known at this stage whether the shoe was simply a size too big or if user error led to the incident. Miss Daly could not be reached for a comment. Moving on, and the demonstrations in Hong Kong have entered their second week. And I'm just being told we have a piece of late-breaking news. We go over to our inconsequential news correspondent for details. Thank you. A number of inconsequential stories have come in the last hour. According to reports, Adam Woodyatt looked at a bridge, Trevor MacDonald stubbed his toe on his dining room table, and Gillian McKeith thought she was on the wrong train before realising it was the right train all along. Michael Gove put milk in the cup first to see if it would make his tea taste better and immediately regretted the decision, while Rebecca Adlington looked up at an interestingly shaped cloud. And now some speculative inconsequential news. This week, one of the members of One Direction probably tripped slightly and looked back to see what it was they tripped on. Lady Gaga probably accidentally bent her fingernail back and it made her feel really weird for a few moments, and Timothy Spall probably reached quickly for the remote control when the adverts came on and they were louder than the programme he was watching. We must stress all of these reports are unconfirmed, but we will keep you updated as more information comes in. Back to the studio. Thanks very much for that update. Unfortunately, there is no time to bring you the Hong Kong story, so we leave you with the terrifying pictures from the incident last week in which Davina McCall lost a button on her jacket.
You've been listening to Susan Harrison's Back Row with Gemma Arrowsmith, Fraser Millward and Sam Thomas. Music was as ever by Skifflin the Piffles, and if you'd like to see Skifflin the Piffles live, we'll be playing at the Fiddler's Elbow in Kentish Town on December the 12th. If you'd like to see Hayley Danks and Ruth Goodchild live, myself and Gemma will be trying them out at Launchpad at the Miller Pub on December the 3rd. OK, thanks, bye! Bye, love you, bye!